Father, as we open your word here today, I just ask that you feed us from your word. Yes. Father, that you would open our ears and open our hearts to the truth of your word here today, mm-hmm. Father, that we would be better suited, better equipped
yes.
to serve you mm-hmm. in the days ahead, Father, and try to lead those lost souls to you so they can mm-hmm. experience that free gift of salvation in their lives, Father.
Yes.
This morning also, we do want to remember the Todd Snyder's family. And
yes.
They will be heading back from the funeral, Father, that you mm-hmm. just give them the safety and the protection that they need. I pray for all yes. those that were at the funeral that heard the gospel, but mm-hmm. Father, you continue to work in their hearts and their lives, and they'll see yes. their need for Christ before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
We do think of his brother Steve as he's come down with mm-hmm. COVID, Father, that you mm-hmm. give him the healing and that he needs at this time, giving grace to go through this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we think of our missionaries out there, and we think of the Needmores and Needhams, and
mm-hmm.
Father, that you would just give him the strength and help he needs and the direction he needs at this time. And
yes.
I pray, Father, for all those gospel tracts, those 9,000 gospel tracts that went out, that
mm-hmm.
your will would be accomplished through those, Father, and people mm-hmm. would come to know you as Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask that you continue to give him wisdom and direction concerning the airplane and the hangar, Father, just work in people's hearts there to get the necessary paperwork and permits that he needs all accomplished. We think of Brother Jeremy and his sickness right now. And Father, you'd lift him back up and encourage his heart at this time. I pray that you give him wisdom concerning going over to Turkey and the protection he'll need there. And we think of the walls and heading their plans to head back to Haiti, Father, that you just make your will clear to Brother Wall. And,
mm-hmm.
and Father, you continue to help Mrs. Wall physically, help her to get back to where she needs to be so mm-hmm. she can be his help. And,
yes.
We just thank you for your goodness to every one of us, Father. And I pray for all those people at my mom's funeral, and,
mm-hmm.
Father, that heard the gospel, that
yes.
You continue to work in their hearts and lives, Father.
Mm-hmm.
None of this world means anything. It's
mm-hmm.
nothing in this world
mm-hmm.
that will last. It's all
yes.
just temporary at best.
Mm-hmm.
Father, it's Jesus Christ that matters.
And mm-hmm.
so I pray that you continue to work in hearts, work in our hearts here today, Father. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. I pray now.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28:18. What is it that God wants us to do? Many times young people, little children, will say, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. So we try to find something for them to do. And there may be times in life where, even as adults, we think, well, I'd like to do something, but what can I do? So let's look at Matthew 28 and verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the Lord says that he has all power, but then he goes on to say, verse 19, well, what's the first three words?
Go ye therefore.
So at times you might think, well, Lord, you have all the power. I don't have any strength. What can I do? If you hold your place here, if you'd go with me, please, to John 15. John 15. Have you ever had a task before you and you thought, oh, I just don't have the strength? Maybe you mothers just, maybe you were tired, had a long week, a long previous day, and maybe not a real great sleep in the night. And so you thought about having to get out of bed and tending your children, and you might think, wow, Lord, I don't know if I have the strength today to do this. Well, and guys, the same way, you think of, Lord, I am so tired. I don't know if I can get out of that bed and go to work today. So many people have been sick. Well, in John 15 and verse 5, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the vine. Ye are what?
The branches.
He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For what?
Without me,
ye can what?
Do nothing.
So He is the vine, we are the branches. Well, we can picture a tree. We can picture the trunk of the tree and then the larger branches and all the little ones coming off from it. And we know the little ones can't do anything unless they're connected to a branch that goes into the trunk. They need that nourishment, that strength. And it's the same way with us as Christians. Verse 5 says, without him, without Jesus, we can do nothing. So we need his strength. So if we go back to Matthew 28, so we need to look to God for strength. So what are a couple of ways we can draw strength from the Lord? What are just a couple ways each day we can draw strength from him? Prayer is one. Okay, what's the other one? The Bible reading. So that's how we can draw our strength from God, is each day spending time in prayer and in Bible reading. Brother Randy was talking to me about refrigerator troubles, and I know we had refrigerator trouble, and in these new refrigerators, they have like self-diagnostic programs. The problem is there's no clear instructions on the refrigerator how to get into that mode and figure out if the refrigerator can figure out its own problem. And so we have to go online and search and try to find, okay, now on this particular model, how do I find out how to do that? Well, on ours, there's, for the temperature, there's an up arrow and a down arrow. And I don't remember the sequence right now, but, you know, whether it's holding both of those arrows down at the same time until something blinks, or holding just one of them down until something blinks, I forget. But it's trying to figure out, okay, how can I figure out this problem? Is there any help for this problem? And you know, it's the same way in our lives. We face all kinds of situations, and it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I know what to do about this problem that I'm facing? And that's where the Word of God comes in. If you hold your place here once again, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all what? Scripture. Okay, Scripture is referring to the Bible. So all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Inspiration. Now, sometimes people say, well, I was really inspired to do this or that. I forget what service it was, Brother Joe, that you led. Was it Wednesday night or Sunday? Sunday night. And as Brother Joe was announcing the songs and as we were singing them, I thought, wow, this is just going right along with the message that God laid on my heart, just one song after another. And so I passed that along to him. I said, that just went along so well. So sometimes someone may say, well, how did you do that? Well, I don't know, the Lord just moved me, or the Lord just inspired me to do it. I'm not trying to take that in a connotation that would, you know, denote like the same inspiration of the scripture, but I'm telling you, you know, sometimes God inspires you or moves you to do something, just puts that thought in your heart, in your mind. And isn't it wonderful when God moves you to do something and then you find out it was such a blessing to someone? It's just so wonderful to be able to be used of God in those ways, and so we desire that. Lord, I want that excitement in my life. God, you know everything. I don't, so please direct me. And that's what we need. So it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So inspiration means God breathed. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. And being a Christian is not a dead, boring, dull life. Being a Christian is an exciting life in that we can have the God of all the universe direct and guide our lives. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's what we want to get in our hearts and in our minds. And is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching, Bible teaching. So the Bible is profitable for doctrine. The Bible is profitable for teaching. So we don't have to wonder if we're saved. We don't have to wonder, oh, well, you know, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, but I wonder if I'm still saved. If someone asks you that question, what verses would you give them? What verses would God move you to show them that salvation is secure? Any ideas? Okay, 1 John 5:13. Let's go there. 1 John 5:13. If someone was saying, I truly and sincerely ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, but I feel kind of blah today, so I don't know. I don't feel as excited today as I did the day I asked Jesus to save me, so am I still saved? 1 John 5:13, these things have I what? Written unto you. So it's in writing. You know, if the police officer pulls you over, he wants to see in writing some ID. Actually, just order something online to pick up at a store, and many times it's like, you have to show a photo ID. Okay. I've ordered this product online. I go to the store to pick it up. I can't pick up this item without showing a photo ID, but yet I can vote for the President of the United States with no photo ID. I'll figure that one out. Well, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. Okay, now, how was that? Well, he repeats it. And that ye may what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. It puts it down there twice. Just think, okay, now, just so you don't try to place this phrase with another phrase that might confuse you, I'm going to say it once, and I'm going to say it afterwards. So, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. No question about it. Before and after. This is how we know. How? That we believe on the name of the Son of God. So let's go back there to 2 Timothy 3:16. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Remember, doctrine is teaching. Bible teaching. How do we know that we are saved? From what the Bible says. If you hold your place here again, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. So it's salvation is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a fact in writing. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are what?
Confident,
I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. So once again, now that's not arrogance. It says we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And as we think about that, okay, then, well, how many hours can we go being perfect? Well, probably not an hour. Okay, so what happens then? Well, let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. How many of you in here are raising or have raised, if all your children are gone from home, how many in here have raised or are raising perfect children? Anyone? No. Our children are just like us, very imperfect. We're all sinners. Okay. Well, in 1 John chapter 2. So what happens to us as children of God when we don't do everything perfect? Well, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye what? Sin not. Now, none of us have perfect children. None of us have raised perfect children. None of us are raising perfect children. And it all points right back to us. We are not perfect. Okay, because our children don't always do what's right, do we disown them? Do we say, you're not my child? Well, they are our children, whether we admit it or not. It can be proven biologically that they are our children. So my little children, these things write I unto you that you what? Sin not, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. That still is the standard. Because our children are not perfect, do we lower the standard? No. We teach them. We train them. So the standard doesn't change. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. So it goes on then. And if any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who?
The righteous.
Now, I hope you never need a lawyer. Maybe you have in the past, but I hope you don't, from this point on, I hope you don't need one. And I realize there's paperwork and stuff that sometimes we do need, but I'm talking about, I hope you don't have problems where you have to hire a lawyer. But the Bible says here in 1 John 2 that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So that advocate, an advocate is someone who speaks on our behalf, someone who pleads our case. Well, who is that one when we sin? It's Jesus Christ, who?
The righteous.
So what we see here is that, okay, God's standard is that we sin not, but none of us are perfect. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and He forgives our sins, the next time we mess up, He doesn't kick us out of the family, just like we don't kick our children out of the family. They're not perfect. We are not perfect. Jesus Christ in heaven is our advocate with the Father. And it's Jesus Christ, what? The righteous. So our salvation does not depend upon our righteousness, but upon Jesus' righteousness. And Jesus never sinned. Notice with me in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Now Jesus was brought before Pilate, the judge. And Jesus was falsely accused. And so what was Jesus' hope here? Well, in John 18, in verse 38, the Bible says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him, so Pilate is saying, I find in him, in Jesus, what?
No fault at all.
No fault at all. Wow. If we were to stand before a judge, could any of us hear that verdict? No. We have many faults. But this judge said of Jesus, I find in him no fault at all. Well, wouldn't you think if you were before the judge and the judge said, I don't see any fault at all in this person, wouldn't you think he would declare you to be set free? Yes. But you know what? That's not what happened to Jesus. Look in chapter 19, verse 4. He's brought before Pilate here. Pilate brings him out. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find what? No fault in him. So this is twice. Pilate the judge now says, I find no fault in him. Wouldn't you think you'd be set free if a judge declared you innocent twice? Well, that would be justice, but that's not what happened. Verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find what? No fault in him. Three times Jesus was declared righteous by the judge. But this judge was a corrupt judge and was moved by the people, and he turned Jesus over to be crucified. Why did all this happen to Jesus? Well, if you look in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Romans 5, 8. And actually, let's back up to verse 6. Verse 6. The Bible says, for when we were yet, what?
Without
strength. In due time, Christ died for who?
The ungodly.
That's us. We've sinned. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now, some of you have served in the military. I know Mr. Johnson has. I know Brother Jim has. And my wife has gotten me these nice caps. She got me a navy blue one with an American flag on it. It says, in God we trust. And I often refer to people as, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And if you talk like that, people just assume you've been in the military because that is how you must answer. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And so I find after she got me that first hat, people thanking me for my service. Well, many times, I wish I had served in the military, but I was at the age just before Vietnam ended, and they stopped the draft at that point. So sometimes people ask me, many times they've asked me when they see that cap, have you served in the military? Are you a veteran? And I'll say, well, I'm in the Lord's Army. And sometimes people get that, sometimes they don't. And just and then my good overcoat is black, so my wife just got me a black hat, just exactly like that, the American flag, in God we trust. And we went out to get a bite to eat, and we stopped at one of the restaurants, and the young man, I think the young man said it too at first, he didn't even ask me, he said, thank you for your service. And then we had to pull ahead and wait for a order, and then the young lady brought it out, and she said, thank you for your service. Well, we should be soldiers of the Lord, amen? And we appreciate those who have risked their lives for us. And that's what it's talking about in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But then in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ what? Died for us. So Jesus did die. He didn't just put his life on the line, but he did die in our place. And why? Look in verse 23, in 6:23, Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That's the wage of our sin. And that is why the Bible says we can't earn our salvation because the wage is death. That's the payment. But it goes on to say, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what did Jesus have to do to pay the wage for us? He had to die. If you notice with me in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, Leviticus 17:11. The Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in what?
Blood.
The blood. You'll notice man has devised many medical technologies. I mean, if you have a bad valve in your heart, many times they can replace it. It's just amazing. If you have a bad knee, Brother Randy can attest to that. He's got a couple of new knees. And my mom has a new hip. And maybe some of you have some other new parts. I just went to the dentist. I have some new parts too. So we are thankful for all the wisdom and skill that God has given to man to help us in these frail bodies. But I want you to notice that the Red Cross is still asking for what? Blood. When you're levels in your blood get to a certain point, there is nothing that man can give you to help you except blood. Except blood that is compatible with yours. And that's the only thing that's going to help you. Well, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The secret to life is in the blood. And man hasn't come up with that secret. That's the secret of God. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And there's not that much blood in this flesh. And if I get a really bad wound, it doesn't take long to die, does it? When we were out witnessing a couple of weeks ago, there were some really vicious dogs that got out. And it wouldn't take too long getting mauled by a pit bull to lose all the necessary blood and die. But the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon what? The altar to make an atonement for your souls. So you see, the wages of sin is death. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That is why Jesus had to die on the cross and give his pure, righteous blood to make the payment for us. You know, if I owe a debt and someone tries to come along and make some other agreement that's not going to do it, there's a payment for the debt. And the debt for our sin is blood. It says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Notice me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. The Bible here is talking about Jesus again. It says, in whom we have redemption through what?
His blood.
His blood. The what?
Forgiveness
of sins according to the riches of his grace. So the Bible refers to Jesus as the captain of our salvation. The captain. He is the one that gave his blood to wash away our sins. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1, 5. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from what? our sins in what?
His own blood.
In his own blood. The other night, I was in bed, and I woke up, and I felt my nose run, and I knew it wasn't a cold. I knew, somehow, in the middle of the night, I got a nosebleed. And so I grabbed my nose, headed into the bathroom, and sure enough, it was red. I had a nosebleed, so I had to plug my nose for a few minutes and get that stopped. But I knew that on my pillow, I hadn't been fast enough. And sure enough, I went and grabbed my pillow and looked at it, and there was a drop of blood. Now, what will get out blood? Well, somewhere along the line, someone told me years ago, hydrogen peroxide. And so I took my pillow out to the kitchen sink and just dropped hydrogen peroxide on it, and it bubbled up, and I kept doing that, and finally, the stain was gone. Well, there's only one thing that will get out our sin stain, and that is the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1. We can scrub on our sin stain with good works. We can scrub on it with baptism. We can scrub on it with trying to do good for other people. And you know what? The sin stain is still going to be there. In Isaiah chapter 1, and let's see here. Verse 18. The Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though what? Your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be what? As wool." So the Lord tells us, come, let us reason together. The Lord's telling us, I have what you need. I have what you need to wash away those sins. And it's the pure, precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the message the Lord sends us out with. Let's go back for just a moment and we'll close here in Matthew 28. What is the marching orders for the church? You know, an officer in the military receives a commission. What is our commission as Christians? We'll just have to read this and close, and we'll pick up with it another time. But in Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And here's our commission. Go ye therefore," and what? "Teach all nations." And then after we teach them what we just looked at, that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death. He paid that price. That's what we're to teach all nations. And then after we teach them that, then what does it say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. After we get saved, the Lord commands us to be baptized. What does that mean? When we're baptized, we go under the water, picturing death to the old life of sin. When we come up out of the water, it pictures a new life serving Jesus Christ. And then after that, what? Verse 20. Teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So it's receiving Christ as our Savior, asking Him and His blood to wash away our sins. And then after that, in obedience to Him, following Him in baptism, and then living for Him, and then learning. You know, a military man doesn't learn everything in basic training. There's much more to learn. He'll probably be trained in some specialty, will be his niche in the military. And as a Christian, there's so much to learn. And so these are our marching orders. The Lord, just like we send our military people many places around the whole world. And the Lord wants us to be in a specific spot, and it has to be his leading where, but sends us forth telling the same blessed story that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then sharing with them about how to serve the Lord and to please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us. We know that you have given us, as a church and as individuals, a great commission. As soldiers of the Lord, we are called to go forth and to bear your name and to tell others about the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and died for us on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And Father, we thank you for the joy and the peace that you give us in our hearts. So, Lord, please help us to go forth with that message and use us, Lord. Without you, we acknowledge we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.